It's been good, and we've enjoyed it. We sang a song tonight. It said, that last song, the second verse says, there shall be showers of blessing, precious, reviving again.
Amen.
I want you to think about that word precious tonight. You know, we use that word a lot. If people see a family and I say, they're just precious. See a little child and say, well, that little one is precious. But what does the Bible say about the word precious? You ever look at the word precious in the Bible? It's used 72, it's in 72 different verses, used 76 times. That's all. More in the Old Testament than the New Testament, but it's used. The word precious. What does the word precious mean? What does it mean to you? What does precious, if I were to ask a question and go around the room and say, what do you think precious means? And if we think about it, it means a couple things. It's translated costly. It's costly. It costs money to get something. A lot in the Old Testament, the word precious was used for gold, precious stones, ointments. They were costly. They were expensive to get a hold of. In other words, the word rare. Precious means rare. It's not something you get just normally. I mean, when was the last time you got a block of gold? You don't get that very often, do you? And the word precious used in the Bible when it talks about the gems and the jewels and the gold. When it talks about the different aspects of life, it talks about it being precious. And also, this is the one that I had to spend some time with and think a little bit. Here's another definition of precious. Gloriously splendid. Think about that. The word means gloriously splendid. The word precious. What does precious, when you think of the word precious, mean to you? What is precious? What is precious in your life? Some other things about the word precious, when you look at it and you look back about it, it means it's valuable. Can you put a value on it? Now, I'll be honest with you, today's market, if you're talking about gold, you can't put a price on it because it keeps fluctuating like crazy. It keeps going up, but it fluctuates up and down. There's no value to be put on it. It just keeps getting more and more expensive. Or it might be prized. Is it a prized possession? It might be weighty. Is it something you have to ponder? Rare, as we've said, is it hard to replace? Or splendid, is it something of beauty? The word precious. Let's go, Lord, in prayer, and we'll get started this evening. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, if we think about the word precious tonight, allow us to be thinking about you and the preciousness of what you've given to us. Lord, we ask tonight that you will just allow us to preach the word that you have for us. Allow us, Lord, to be attentive. Allow your Holy Spirit to work in this service, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would. I'm going to go someplace you probably would have never thought of when I'm using the word precious. But go to 1 Samuel. Go to 1 Samuel in chapter number 3. 1 Samuel chapter number 3. You think about it. We think about the word precious, and it talks about it right here in 1 Samuel. And we're going to start with this. We've got a couple things to look at, actually four things altogether. We're going to spend most of our time right here. But 1 Samuel chapter number 3, and verse number 1 says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. The word was precious. We know what was going on here with Eli. His sons had gone bad. They weren't ready for the temple. God had already given a Samuel that he was going to take over for Eli. And here in God's word, it says that the word of God was precious. It was something that you couldn't put a value on it. You could not say that it had any possessiveness as far as being worth something, because it could not be replaced. It was weighty in the fact that it needed to be pondered. You know what? This word right here needs to be pondered on a regular basis. We need to be spending time in it, not just reading it, but allowing it to sink in, and we ponder the thoughts that God has given to us. We need to ponder this book. It needs to be, it's something, I'll be honest with you, This book is hard to replace. First of all, let me ask you this question. What would you replace it with? This book is something that gets you through the troubles of your life and the trials you go through. This book is something you go to whenever you need encouragement. This book is something you go to whenever you're in distress that you need uplifted. This book is someplace that you go whenever you're having family problems and God can fix them. This book is someplace that you go when there's just turmoil all around. This book. What other book could you get that takes the place of this book? There is none. Secondly, I don't like changing Bibles. I like sticking with the Bible I've got. This is a new Bible. I had to. My other one fell apart. My mother bought me a new Bible a couple years ago for Christmas. And I said, great, it's just like the one I had before. But I'll tell you what, it wasn't built like the one I had before. Because it went less than a year and I had pages coming out of it everywhere. So I got another one. Let's hope the pages don't come out of it like it came out of the other one. But you know what? I don't like changing Bibles. I have a Bible that I wouldn't give up for anything. When I was in college, my grandmother had to be in her by around 80 years of age. And she was having a hard time seeing. So while I was in college, I bought her a large print Bible. Sent it to her. She got it. And when she passed away, I got that Bible. And there's all kinds of notes written in the margins. I wouldn't give that Bible up. There's all kinds of things written in there that she had, thoughts that she had, or things that she remembered at that time, and she put them down there. I wouldn't give that Bible up. It's not replaceable. But I'm going to tell you what, the book that we have, the Bible, is not something that we can replace. You can't get something else for it. It's a precious, the Word of God is precious. It's something of beauty. If you read God's Word, there's beauty in this book. Look, think about Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created. Think about that just for a moment. What you see in this world, God created. The beauty of the majesty of the mountains, the rivers. You got, I mean, in the last couple weeks, I've been quite a few places, to be honest with you. I've been from Pennsylvania to South Carolina to West Virginia, back to Pennsylvania, back to South Carolina, to North Carolina, back to Pennsylvania. I've crossed over the New River Gorge 3 times. Beautiful river. It's all frozen this time when I cross it too. Beautiful places. I've been out. I've seen the Rockies and the beauty of them. I've seen the Canadian Rockies and the beauty of that. I've seen the Shenandoah Valley and the beauty there. You know what? Think about it. In the beginning, God created. There's beauty in this book.
Yeah.
You come over and you look at the kings, and in this book it tells us about the ornateness of the kings, and especially when we get to Solomon, it says about all that he was given and what was brought to him, and the gold and the silver and the ointments and how much was there. You get over to the temple that he built and the ornateness of the temple. There's beauty in this book. There's beauty in the book from beginning to end if you'll read it.
Yeah.
If we'll spend time in it. Sure. It's a precious book. And there in Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious." Is the word of the Lord precious to you today? Is it precious? Is it something that you want? Is it something that you desire? Is it something that you can wrap your hands around and you can get a hold of it and enjoy what's written in this book? Take your Bibles and turn to Psalms 126. Psalms 126. Some of you probably know this verse. But Psalms 126 talks about the preciousness again, as we see it here. In verse number 6 says, "He that goeth forth in weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." You know what? This is the precious seed right here. It's the precious seed. It's the preciousness of this book. It's what's in it. Salvation's in it. Every doctrine that we go by, that we live by in our faith is in this book. Every promise that we have is in this book. It's a precious book. Is it precious to you? Is it precious to you? Take your Bibles and turn, if you would, to Psalms 19 and verse number 10. Psalms 19 and verse number 10. How precious is God's Word? We think about preciousness and what's said in the Bible. I think about it. I'm not going to go to all those verses of the Bible where it mentions the word precious, but most of them, as I said, was for gold and silver and those precious stones. But look in Psalms 19 and verse number 10. It says this, "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." You know, whenever we think about the Word of God being precious, it's saying it's here that it's more to be desired than gold. The Bible talks about that gold being precious. But it says this book right here is more to be desired than gold.
Yeah, amen.
More to be desired than gold. I mean, if you think about the financial market today, everybody tells you got to have gold, got to have silver. It was not that long ago, people told you, "Oh, there's no need to have silver. It's not worth anything." All of a sudden, silver's worth something.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, junk's worth something. I mean, that's what it's gotten to. I mean, I don't care what it is. It's almost put a value on it. But gold, it keeps going up in price. And it says, though, that this book is more to be desired than gold. You know, we have a world that today that craves money. Money, 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 money. Now, it takes money to do things, and I understand that. I'm not going to put that down. Brother Dan was saying this morning about some of the things that we want to do and some of the directions that we want to take. It takes money. And printing equipment is not cheap. Used printing equipment is not cheap. But my Father is rich in houses and lands. I don't need to be going after the money. God will provide the money we need. I've worked jobs, and I've talked about this before. I've worked at jobs where I've made big money, and I've worked at jobs where I've made little money. And I'll be honest with you, I'd much rather make the little money. Because all you do when you make the big money is make bigger bills. And then when you go from up here to down here, you know what? You still have to pay those bills that you made up here. The problem of it is most people that chase after money chase after because they think it's going to make them happy. And it never does.
Yeah.
But you know what? You find the Savior. You get in this book. You start reading it and letting God work in your heart. This will make you happy. This will bring joy into your life.
That's right.
Knowing the Word of God, being able to read the Word of God and understand the Word of God, it will make you happy. This verse in Psalms 19 said we're supposed to be, it was more to be desired than gold, than fine gold, the most expensive gold, the most refined gold. It's greater than that. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Now, you can't get any better honey. I'm sorry, honey is good.
Amen.
We like honey. We've been known to make a meal out of some biscuits and honey. That's good. That's good stuff. Honey is good in anything. My wife will tell you I'm crazy. She doesn't want honey. She won't even try honey. It's nasty. I say it's good stuff. Good honey. But you know what? As sweet as honey may be, this book is better.
That's right.
More to be desired than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. What is precious in your life? Look here at the Word of God, and the Word of God is precious. As I said, it gave the definitions to begin with. It's costly and it's rare. The Word of God is something that you can't replace it. And as I want you to think about these couple comments as I make them is of the value of honey, of the being precious. It's valuable. Can you put a value on the Bible? We've had times when it's cost extra money to ship scriptures places. Can you put a value on a soul? They want more money to release it on a dock. Can you put a value on a soul? You think about it, when we ship a container to a country, it's going to have in the neighborhood of 750,000 of those Roman booklets in it. And if you don't pay their fee, they're going to destroy it. What's the soul worth? What's the Word of God worth? Because without the Word of God, they're not going to come to salvation. So they have to have it. They need it. It needs to be given to them. So what's the Word of God worth? You can't put a value on it. Remember the day you got saved? Can you put value on that? Or you can put value on it in the fact that you know that you have a home in heaven. You can put value on it in the fact that you know what happened that day. But can you actually say, this is what it's worth? What if that night or that day would have never happened?
Yeah.
What if someone wouldn't have been willing to bring to you the gospel? What if you wouldn't have been willing to go into a church service? What if you never heard? We think it's funny, but I've had a friend here in Pennsylvania. At the time, her and her two kids, she's a single mom. She made this statement to me. She said, from the time that I was a little girl to right now, there's never been a Bible in my house. That's in the United States. That's in Pennsylvania. It just so happened that I had a couple Bibles and a couple Roman booklets in my car. And I went and got them and I said, here. I said, here's a couple Bibles. And here, I couldn't spend any time there. I said, here's some Roman booklets. Would you promise me that you'll read them and give them to the kids and have them read them? Her kids were 18 years of age. I said, read them. She said, okay, we will. I have not made contact since. I don't know what may have happened. But you know what? You need the gospel. You need the Bible. If you're going to see someone saved, you need the Bible. But can you believe not a Bible? Hadn't had a Bible in her home in 50 years. 50 years in America. What's your Bible worth? What's it worth?
Yeah.
Look at a couple other things that are precious. You know what? There's something else that's precious besides the Word of God. The Word of God is precious, but there's a precious love. I want you to think about this. The love of God to send His Son was precious. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His Son. Can you think of anything that's more precious than that? That God was willing to give His Son to come and to die for you and me. I'm not worth it. You know what? You know something? You're not worth it either. But God thought we were. And His precious love, not just of the Father, but of the Son. Take your Bible, if you wouldn't, turn to 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. The preciousness, the precious love of God, the precious love of Christ, the precious love of the Holy Spirit. Think about the things that have taken place. 1 Peter chapter number 2, and verse number 4. And it says, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also are lively stones, and were built upon a spiritual house and a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded.
Amen.
Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. That's talking about Christ here. Said He's precious. He's not replaceable. No one else could do the job that He did. You know, He came to the cross. Here's Christ. He hung on a cross. No one else could do that. He's not replaceable. He's not. You can't put a value on Him. He's rare. But He loved us, that He was willing to go to the cross. And the Word of God says, the reason to see the Word of God as being precious is because it's the Word of God. It gives us everything else. And it tells us that God, or Jesus Christ, was precious. The Holy Spirit also is precious. We can turn and look in John chapter 14, 15, and 16. And it says, Christ says as He was leaving, that He would send the Comforter to guide us, to direct us. You know, I'll tell you what, there are some times that the Holy Spirit has convicted me so badly of a direction that I was going in to turn around or to stop doing what I was doing. I can't replace that. The Holy Spirit directs our lives in different areas and shows us things that we should be doing or shouldn't be doing. He's the one that pricks your heart to say witness to that individual. He's the one that tells you that you need to go somewhere where you get there and you find someone that's in need. The Holy Spirit's who guides us and directs us. And you can't replace that. He's precious. But the precious love of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Are they precious to you? Is the Word precious? Is the love of God precious? You know, there's a precious Word and there's a precious love. There's a precious blood. I think your Bibles, if you wouldn't, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. We were just over there, but we've moved from it. 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. In verse number 19. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 119, it says this: But with the precious blood of Christ,
amen,
as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. If you go back to the Old Testament, and they were offering up the sacrifice, they had to find a lamb that was without spot. They had to find one that was lovely. They had to find one that it wasn't broken bones. They had to find one that was doing. They had nothing wrong with it. And when they bring it to the priest would inspect it and go from head to toe and look it over and make sure there were no scars on it and make sure that it hadn't been torn up or hadn't been in a fight, it hadn't been gouged. He would look it over that there was no spot or no blemish in that lamb. But you know what? That was just temporary. Because when Christ came, as it says here, the precious blood, He was without spot. He was without blemish. He was the only one that could go to the cross. He was the perfect sacrifice. They had a lamb over here that had to be inspected to make sure it was right. But it was only temporary. But when Christ came, it was the perfect sacrifice. And the Bible says it was His precious blood.
Amen. That's right.
How precious is that blood to you?
Yeah.
I know without that blood, I have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I know without the blood that Christ shed, that I wouldn't even have a chance in this world. But because of the precious love of God and the precious blood of God, we have the opportunity of going to heaven. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. It says here, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have attained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Paul says, Peter, as he writes here, he says, with those that have attained the precious faith, that have accepted Christ, that have come to a saving knowledge of Him, it's precious. It's the fact that we have a home in heaven because of the preciousness of God.
Amen.
The preciousness of His Word, the preciousness of His love, the preciousness of His blood.
Yeah.
We have that opportunity. And because of that, we have a precious home that we're going to. Turn to Psalms 116. Psalms 116. Psalms 116 and verse number 15. I want you to think about this. Think about these words. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Think about that. Think about those words that the psalmist wrote down here, and it says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Wow. Do you know, it says that in God's eyes, those that have lived for him, those that have accepted him as their Savior, when they die, it's precious in his sight. Wow. Wow. God thinks we're precious. He thinks we're precious. We sing a song many times, coming home, coming home. There's a day coming.
Amen.
We're going home.
That's right. Amen.
And it says that in our death, Christ looks at us as being precious. The saints are precious in his sight. Wow. Look over in Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter number 21 and verse number 14. Let's start in verse number. We'll start at verse number 14. It says, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 140 and four cubits, according to the measures of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall, it was of jasper. And the city was pure gold, like under clear glass. And the foundation of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysophras, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. That's the precious home that we have waiting.
Amen.
Do you realize that in those few verses that I read there, if you were to go back and you read in about Solomon, and you read about the kings, that there's many places there where it mentioned precious stones. You know, they're all here. They mentioned them as precious stones and precious gold back there in the Old Testament. But here, as it comes to heaven, these are the precious stones it was talking about. This is the gold it was talking about. The streets are of gold. I heard a preacher not long ago say, well, you know, it's going to look like gold. It's not really gold. Like, really? My Bible says the streets are like gold.
Yeah.
That's when you have listening on the radio and you go, click. I'm listening to you. But it's precious.
Yeah.
You think about the Word of God and the preciousness of this book. You know what this book does? It teaches us about God, who has a precious love for us.
Yeah.
And this book teaches us about the blood, which is precious to us. And it teaches us about heaven, and we can go on about heaven for a long time as far as what's there and what God has prepared and why it's there and the life that's going to be there. And we're going to praise His name. We're going to have, you know, we're going to sit around the banquet table. Wow. And we're going to praise His name some more. We're going to praise His name some more. And we're going to be able to throw the crowns at His feet. Preciousness. I can't wait to get there.
I'm not going to rush it. Don't get me wrong.
But I can't wait to get there. I can't wait to see what the Bible talks about, how it unfolds, the preciousness of it. But how precious is it to you? When I think about God's Word, how precious is this book to you? I mean, I know the Bible says of itself it's precious, but how precious is it to you as an individual? Is it really precious? Is it something that's rare and something that doesn't have a value because you can't put a value on it? Is it something that is just splendid and something of absolute beauty? What about the love that God's given to us? Do you really recognize, I don't want to put the blood and the love of God together, but do you realize how important it is that He was willing to come and He was willing to die, that God was willing to send Him? How precious is that to you? Does it mean something to you? Does it hold a spot in your heart that it means something special, that it's rare, that it's something of beauty, that it's something that can't be replaced, that it's something that can't change. It's something that's precious.
Amen.
I know, we know what the Word of God says. It says it's precious. What's it mean to you?
Precious.
How precious is it to you? We know what the Bible says about heaven. We just read about that. That heaven, I'm going to tell you what, when I just think about it, and John told us that he couldn't even write down what he saw. Because we couldn't take it. But what it does tell us, and the splendor of heaven, well, I'm telling you what, I wouldn't want to miss it.
Amen.
I wouldn't want to miss it. I want to see the splendor. I want to see the preciousness of heaven. I'm looking forward to heaven.
Amen.
But how precious is it to you? Are you more tied to this world and to this life that you don't see the preciousness of heaven? Are you more excited about the activities that you have planned for this week that you're not willing to take someone with you to heaven?
Right.
Are you more concerned about the family affairs that are going on than you are about being in God's house? Are you more concerned about what's taking place, or the next purchase you're going to buy, what you're going to buy, or are you more concerned about what life is bringing in general, or what you can get out of life, or are you more concerned about what God's Word has for you to do and what it tells you to do?
Yeah.
How precious is this book? How precious is God's love? How precious is the blood? How precious is your future home if you know Christ as your personal Savior? How precious? Precious. The Word of God speaks of itself as being precious and tells us of all the other preciousness that's there. And I've seen some beautiful things in my time. I've seen some beautiful places. I've been in some elaborate places. I've seen some beauty that's overwhelming. But how precious is God, His Word, His home that's soon to be ours. How precious, how precious. Our Heavenly Father.